Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you probably have heard, you've heard people mention these things before, the whole Father, Son, Holy Spirit thing. And you know, maybe you've thought a lot about it, maybe you've never thought a thing about it. But God in three persons, for us to describe that today, we're gonna take a shot at this, and we're gonna talk about just the functions of each of these particular things. In fact, if you've got a worship guide with you this morning, and you should have a worship guide with you, you can pull that out right now. Probably sitting on it, turn it into a golden egg or something. And on the worship guide, you'll see on there that I've got a spot, I think. There's a spot on there. Let me see this worship guide before I take you all the way. Yes, absolutely. You've got a spot on there that says Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And right out beside that, I've left that blank because I want you to be able to, on your own, take notes of what we're talking about today, something that you can take with you. We are purposely trying to make the worship guides more something that would be something that you might want to hold on to for the note aspect and those kinds of things, and just things that we're going to put in there, resources and things that you can have at your disposal to use. And so if you've got a pen, you may want to take notes. By the way, again, really trying to encourage folks to bring their Bibles with them. And let me encourage you in this with your Bible. This is like a tool. I'm notorious for having just tons of tools. If you go in my garage right now, there's like tools everywhere because I don't have a toolbox big enough to put all my tools in. And so there's just literally tools everywhere. I got a filing cabinet with tools in it. And I mean, just tools everywhere, bags or whatever. And, you know, tools are meant to be used. And I think for a lot of us, we paid so much for our Bible, we're like, oh, you know, I don't want to mess it up or something. Look, it's your tool. Make it yours. Use it. Underline in it. You know, I one of the things that I do constantly is usually when I'm preaching out of a passage of Scripture, I underline the passage. If I'm hearing someone speak on a passage of Scripture, I underline the passage. That way that if I want to go back and see that, I may even make notes out beside it. Right in your Bible. Oh my gosh, you know. But yeah, you know, you can do that and it's cool and God's okay with it. You know, don't draw any bad drawings or anything. So we got this side to laugh now. They can't say hello. They're not doing okay, but they can laugh. So anyway, this morning we're gonna read a passage of Scripture that's in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to talk about this Trinity thing and kind of see some stuff that's just really important for us to get about this thing, and specifically with the functions of the Trinity and what they do. Let me just kind of pray before we even just get any further than this right now. God, I just pray that you would just speak through your word. And Lord, we just love you, and I just pray, Lord, that even in studying your word, God, that our hearts would just be pure and just wanting to know who you are and know more of you so that we can grow closer to you, so that we can worship you, so that we can serve you. God, that we can be the people that you've called us to be. God, we just love you, and we thank you for your word and just how it speaks to our hearts. In your name I pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read this passage of Scripture to you. It's a great passage of Scripture. And a lot of debate going on about this passage of Scripture at times, and we're not going to get into some of that debate today because we've actually talked about some of that stuff earlier in this series. This passage of Scripture, I'm just going to start with verse 1, and this is, you know, Paul, and it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints of Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is him now talking. He's kind of giving his little introduction. I am Paul. Now, verse 2, it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now right here, verse 3, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise and of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Now, right there, we've got I want to stop right there. We'll come back to this. And I want you to hang in here with me because this is going to be some good stuff this morning. But right there in that passage of Scripture, we see Paul just giving praise to God the Father. Okay? So we've got the Trinity. We got Trinity and, you know, one God, three persons. Again, this is a big mystery thing, and for us to completely explain this, we would be idiots to think that we are going to ever try to do that and actually do it, you know, to a T. We're never going to get there, but we're going to try. And this is what we know. We know that there is one God, that he is in three persons, And each person, each part, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, each have different functions to carry out. How many of you have a large family? Any large family people in here? Good, good, good. You probably saw some of them at Thanksgiving. You're probably glad you only see them at Thanksgiving. A lot of large family folks. And the thing about a family, like your family at home especially, you always, wonder about Uncle Buck at Thanksgiving and what his function is in life. But, at least at your house, typically, people have functions. There are things, certain things that each person carries out at your house. If you have no functions at your house, I have been sent as a messenger today to tell you that you are worthless at your house. Quit being worthless at your house. Amen, parents? Some excited parents about that today. That's not really why I came here to talk today. But that's a side note. And so we all have functions, and our functions are important because if we don't carry out our function, then the body suffers. The same thing goes for church. We've talked about this. Paul talks about this throughout Scripture. And we see this implied through the Trinity itself. That the church, the bride of Christ, all of you people, bunch of crazy looking people, this is a diverse crowd. And that's a wonderful thing because the Trinity in of itself is diverse in the sense that it needs to be to carry out different functions. And so just like within the church, if one person isn't doing their function, then the church itself suffers, which means the ministry suffers, which means there are people that are lost that are going to suffer. That may be a newsflash for you. We're all called to serve. Find a place to serve within your church. If this is not your church, go and serve in that church. But the Trinity works the same way. Each person has a function. Each person of the Trinity has a function, just like within the church, just like within our family. And right here, we are seeing a function, the function in creation that the Father played. It was the Father. And we'll just go back to verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." Now, right there, we're right there in verse 4, verse 5, I'm sorry, it goes right into in love. He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. And right there, we're getting into, stuff that people want to cause controversy over and want to split churches over. And let me just tell you, that's Satan, at work, because it doesn't matter what you believe about that passage of Scripture. If you believe that that is saying that God knew before, and He has to know because He knows everything, but that if He chose you to become a child of His versus turning His back and not choosing someone to be a child of His, you may believe that, or you may believe that this is God choosing from the beginning that His heart was that all of us would come to know Him. There's two sides of the fence. We're not getting in that today. We talked about it several weeks back. You can go back and check it on podcast. But the importance of this passage of Scripture and the importance of us understanding that things like that split the church is for this. Is that we don't allow Satan to use things like that to be divisive against us as the church of Jesus Christ. In this passage of Scripture, what is definite is that God the Father, basically kind of from the get-go, was the one saying, these people are going to exist. I'm going to choose them in one of those two ways that I just talked about. I'm going to choose them. And just in that statement alone, we can understand that from before the beginning of time, He had decided that He was going to create us and that He was going to know each and every one of us. Let me just ask you a question right now. Think about all the famous people. Think about people that have done things in this world that have just made huge impacts on people. You know what I'm talking about? Like people that we know is like, that person made a huge impact on our world for a good thing, and they did this, and it's, his name or her name is this. Do you ever find yourself measuring yourself against those people? Maybe somebody that you know, it may be somebody that's famous, but do you ever find yourself just measuring yourself against those people and going, that person did such a huge thing for our world. They've saved so many lives by stepping out and doing this thing or whatever it is. And I want you to understand something today, is that God chose every one of us into existence with a purpose. The book of Jeremiah talks about it. And a lot of people get all hung up, and that's like the only thing they want to study on. And there's a whole lot to that, and there's a lot on our end to that, for us to live up and into that purpose. This morning, God knew you before He created you. Every single one of us. Every single one of you. He knew. He had it figured out. He knew what was going to go down. You know, despite whatever decisions we may make along the way, He knew whether they would be good decisions or bad decisions. He saw this coming. So the question this morning is what's the importance of this? What's the importance of God the Father speaking us into existence? Well, couldn't God the Son have done that? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Let me just go ahead and let's move forward. You know, if you want to write out beside the Father, he chose us. If you want to write that in your little worship God thing, He chose us. That's the biggie there, choosing us. And then you go down to verse 6. To the praise of the glorious grace which He has freely given us in the one He loves. And right there, the one, if you're looking at Scripture right now, if you're looking at a Bible, then you're going to see that one is capitalized. The one He gave us. The Father, this is also another thing that the Father did, if you want to talk about roles, is that the Father sent the one. Now, I'm not talking about Neo from the Matrix, okay? I'm talking about Jesus, all right? There you go. And so, you know, Jesus is the one, and that's why that's capitalized right there. And so the one He loves. In verse 7 it says this, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that He lavished us on us with all wisdom and understanding. And so right here we have an understanding, we're beginning to get an understanding, we're seeing that the Father not only chose us, but then also in choosing us, He also sent His Son, sent the One to come and offer redemption through Jesus Christ. So right out beside Jesus, if you want to go ahead and put something down, we're getting a lot about the Father here, but also right there in the same sentence, we're getting something about Jesus. What's Jesus' role? Now, if you're a Christian, you probably know this. This is a Sunday school answer. You may not be a Christian here today. You may just be kind of thinking about church. You're not sure about church. You're not sure about Jesus. You're not sure about God. Been a lot of junk go wrong in your life, and you're looking for someone to blame it on or whatever, and I'm just here to tell you today that God loves you, and that passage of Scripture that we just read, where the God, the Father, is offering redemption through sending the One, that's for you. And that's for me. And that's for every single one of us. And that's offered worldwide. Unfortunately, worldwide doesn't always make it because we don't always get the message there. And that's why missions are very important. So we've got Christ. And Christ is offering redemption, and His role is redemption. You say, okay, well, that's good. You know, we kind of get that. We understand that Jesus came. He lived as a human being, and this is a crazy thing. He was fully human. You talking about the Trinity and trying to explain that, and then here you go. Here's another thing. Jesus was fully human and fully God at the same time, because Jesus is God. Jesus is God the Son. Just like we have God the Father, we've got God the Son, we've got God the Holy Spirit. Jesus came. He lived a perfect life, a life that none of us could ever attain. Just not going to happen. And then at the end of that, He was killed. He was sacrificed for our sins. And for a brief moment in time, right there in time, Jesus hung on a cross. And the reason that we have all that, and the reason if you're not understanding that or this is new to you or whatever, the reason for that is because Jesus at that point in time took on the sin of this world. And everything that we've ever done, Christian or not, that has broken the heart of God, was put onto Christ in that moment in time. The difference is is, have you ever given your heart to Christ? And I just want to say this, and I talk with a lot of people, and we've talked with a lot of people about, you know, just even folks within our church and the culture that's been made within 24 Church. And that there's a concern, and because we are reaching so many diverse people, and this is a great thing because we want a diverse church, because we want to do lots of different things to meet, you know, and reach a lot of different types of people. But in that, the concern is this, is that we've got a lot of folks that are great at coming to church sometimes, or whatever, but at the same time, do they know Jesus Christ as their Savior? And I want to throw this question on you today, and I just want to ask you today, can you pinpoint a time in your life? And I don't care whether you can tell me the date and the time. I'm just talking about, do you know that there was a point in your life where you said, I am giving my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm giving my life to Christ. I want God to lead my life. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, and I am asking for forgiveness of my sin, for my sin to be on that cross. And I'm just here to tell you that's the most important thing that you can ever do. And typically somebody would save that for the end of the message, and you know, at the end of the message we offer a time. I'm just going to tell you, we offer a time every Sunday morning if you ever want to talk about that. 7 days a week if you ever want to talk about that. You call my phone, you can email us, you can do whatever you want to do to get in touch with us. I don't care if you show up at my house in the middle of the night. I want to talk to you about that. And so does every other Christian that's in the room here. Because our heart is that you would know the wonderful freedom that comes in knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is the most unbelievable thing that will ever happen to you. Unbelievable. This passage of Scripture goes on, and we see that God the Father has sent the One to offer redemption. And so Jesus' role here is to bring redemption and also to set an example. If you want to throw that in, that's just a freebie. And it says in verse 9, and He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. It's pretty cool. Verse 11, it says this, in Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. You see, everything comes back to giving God glory. And this is one of those huge things that I think just churches in general miss. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it because it makes God sound arrogant. And I just want to tell you, God's not arrogant. That's a sin, and God doesn't sin. But by His own nature, He can't help but bring Himself glory in everything He does. Basically, He can't be about Him. He can't help but be about Himself. He's going to be about Himself every single time. Every single time, God's going to win. Because, I mean, let's just face it. If at some point in time, He just goes, well, you know, I won't win today. It won't be mine today. You know, I won't get glory today. At that point in time, He has gone against His own nature, and He's no longer perfect God. He's just not it. And so there's just so much of that, and we've talked on that a lot through the series, and I just want to kind of hit that one more time. It says in verse 13, and you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, check this out, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal that promised, check this out, promised the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Did you get that? Because this is a huge thing. We're down to number 3. We're down to the Holy Spirit. And so we've got the Holy Spirit here. And the Holy Spirit, what is His purpose? Right here, I'm going to read it one more time. It says, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. You see, when we become a child of God, I mean, we are His. We're His possession. And when we come to Christ, just as Christ was leaving town, he was exiting the building. He said, I'm going to send and the Father is going to send. Both sending. This is kind of cool and kind of crazy at the same time. I'm going to send and coming after me, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you. You see, when we come to Jesus Christ, there is something that God sends that is God. Fully God. Just as full as the Father is God and as Jesus Christ is God, the Holy Spirit is also just fully God. Okay? And a lot of people I know, in your mind, you're like me. For years, I was thinking of this in my head, and I had this pie chart. And it was like, you know, the 33 1/3, you know, percent pie chart of like the three things in the pie chart. And they're all equal. And that's true, but not true. Because you see, it's not, even though they have different functions, every single part, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, are all equally the same God. They all carry the same attributes. They're all unchangeable. It's not like, you know, the Father's unchangeable and the Holy Spirit's over here and he's like, well, I'm not unchangeable. You know, and he jumps, he does whatever he wants to. And in fact, I'll just tell you and be the first to say that the church for a long, long time, especially Baptist churches, which we are, a lot of those types of churches have kind of treated the Holy Spirit as the red-headed stepchild of the Trinity, for as one of the pastor friends of mine likes to say. And you know, it's one of those things that we've lost touch with who God is a lot of times, I think, because we are unwilling to believe or want to see God move and do great and major things in our lives because it scares the junk out of us. And you see, when Christ left town and he said, when you come to me, the Holy Spirit will come and he will live within you. That is Christ saying, that is God saying, God the Father saying, that the Holy Spirit, that God is going to come and live within your heart, within your soul. That's amazing. And not only that, not only is God going to come and live within you, he's got a function. And here's the function. Check it out. It says, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You see, when you come to Christ, you are sealed. You are sealed with the gift of redemption from God. And this is where, you know, and people will want to argue this, but it's just not scriptural, you know, to really argue too much here. But the bottom line is that once you come to know Christ, you know Christ. We had a young man that showed up about 4 weeks ago. And one of our parking guys outside, just hanging out, helping people park cars, realized this guy was still in his car. He'd just gotten out of the military. Really young guy. And he saw him sitting in this car, and he went over there just to check on him. And he said, sir, are you doing okay today? And the guy looked up, and he just said, no, I'm not. I'm not doing good at all. And he started to kind of spill his guts on what he was going through and all this stuff. And right in that, you know, he said, you know, I've been an agnostic for years now, and I just kind of gave up Christianity a long time ago. Well, I got to sit down more and more with this guy over the last couple weeks, and he has since moved back home and is going through a divorce and just a whole lot going on in this guy's life. And he's moved a long way away, and we've talked a couple times on the phone. And one of the things that is obvious is he came to church that day in here 4 weeks ago. At the end of the service, we got to sit down and talk, and he said, you know, I've not been believing in God. That's not been my thing here for the last little while. And he said, something happened in here today. And he said, I can't explain it. And I said, well, let me just ask you a question. I said, question I usually ask, I just said, let me ask you this question. Have you ever given your heart to the Lord? Have you ever given your life to Christ and said, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life? And he said, actually, yes. When I was young, I was a Christian, and I gave my heart to Christ, and I was growing in Christ and all that. He said, but the last several years have been hard, and I just gave it up. And I said, let me just tell you something. You may have turned your back on God, but He did not turn His back on you. You see, when we come to Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. There's no giving it back. There's no losing it. You know, there's a lot of people, well, what about the, you know, the guy that, you know, he did it and he's become an axe murderer or whatever. You know what? I have a real hard time just believing that they really truthfully gave their heart to the Lord, if that's the case. I don't know. I can't explain that. But what I can explain to you is that this passage of Scripture tells me that the Holy Spirit was a deposit guaranteeing, look at this, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions. Basically, the Holy Spirit has come and He's chilling with us and He's staying here and He's in us and He's with us and He's not going anywhere and He's staying here until the day that God comes back for His possessions. That's an amazing thing. I want to do something just real quick to help illustrate something this morning. I need three volunteers, actually. Can I get three volunteers? Josh, you want to be a volunteer for me? Come on up, man. Mariah, let me go over here. I don't want to choose from all one side of the room, even though this side didn't, you know, respond very well early in the service. Somebody over here, a volunteer. Oh, Chad, good. Come on up, Chad. Thank you for volunteering this morning. You know, and you can just hang right there. Good to see you. You doing okay?
Oh, yeah.
Good, good, good. Josh, you doing well? Mariah, well? Good, good. All right. Josh, why don't you get in the middle? You can be the monkey in the middle. You just stand here, Mariah. You just kind of chill right here. I want to ask you guys to do something for me this morning. I've got stuff kind of all over the place back here. Mariah, I want you to put this on for us. This morning, you can put that on, and Josh, I want you to put this on. Can you handle that? And then, Chad, this is very fitting for you. I want you to put that stuff on for me there, if you don't mind. All right. So we've got Mariah, Josh, and Chad here this morning, and it's kind of nice to actually know everybody that volunteered on their own this morning. But I want to, this is the best I could do because for some reason the one suit jacket that I own had disappeared out of my closet. This is father, okay? Now let's get past the fact that you're a female, and I am not at all implying that God is a female, by the way. Just to kind of clear the air on that before somebody walks away going, hey, do you think he was trying to say something? No. We've got father, we've got son, and we've got Holy Spirit. This is so awesome. And so, the reason I'm doing this is because I think for us, and I'm going to explain this here in a second, but for us, we try to take our human minds and explain this Trinity thing. Okay? Now, right off the bat, there's some issues with this because we've got actually three individual people, and I would guess these three people hardly even know each other. And that's so not true of the Trinity. But what we try to do as the Trinity, when we think about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and as you study through Scripture, you will see, I mean, just blatantly, that the Father and the Son act like a Father and a Son. You see, when God the Father sent Jesus Christ, He said, Jesus, I'm sending you. And Scripture teaches us that the Son obeyed the Father. Okay? So we've got Father, and you send the Son with His super soaker. And you know, He's a son, He's a kid, so He's got a super soaker. And this is, by the way, this is very Cheatham County right here. But you got the Father, and He's sending the Son, and the Son is very obedient. Well, at the same time, you've also got the Holy Spirit over here. And the way that the Holy Spirit reacts between these things is very much like Holy Spirit. You know Holy Spirit. I'm just a joke, okay? You can't really explain that because it's Father and Son, and we understand that. But see, here's the deal. Here's the thing. When we're looking at the Father and the Son and we're seeing them act like Father and Son, we're automatically going, oh, yeah, okay, well then, you know, the Father is more powerful and more knowledgeable than the Son, and they're probably both more powerful and knowledgeable than the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to kind of bring these guys up here today and just kind of go, that's not the case. You see, we were made in God's image, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were around before time and before we were around. And we were made in their image. They were not made in our image. God was not made in our image. The Father-Son relationship wasn't based upon, you know, what we know of as Father and Son. What we know as Father and Son should be based upon what we see in the Father and the Son. Now, the Holy Spirit, you know, I mean, he's like sealing stuff. He's hovering around. We don't see him. And the best thing that I could come up with was camo, because, you know, we don't see him. So, you know, we got Holy Spirit over here. And again, you know, with the Holy Spirit, I want to drive this home just so hard today. I want us to walk away from here not being a people that are scared of the Holy Spirit. Although, you know, he is, you know, all up in our woods, and he is in our lives if we know Jesus Christ, and we don't see him, he's there. At the same time, God wants to do unbelievable things in our lives. He wants to do incredible stuff. And I know what has happened. Through our culture over the last couple of generations or whatever it is, we've seen certain types of churches, and they get all, you know, like, oh, acting crazy or whatever. And they're saying all of it's the Holy Spirit. And so all of a sudden, people that are of, you know, these denominations and of this, you know, well, I'm just a Bible-believing Christian. Bible-believing Christians believe in the Holy Spirit, okay? Just as much a part of the Trinity. Just as important, because this is God in us. This is the seal for us. This is the thing that when God comes back for his possessions, he's looking around. And where we can't see him because, you know, he's camo, God can, and immediately he's like, oh, you got camo on, you're going with me. Not really, but you get the point. And I think it's just so important for us to understand that as much as we try to explain the Trinity, as much as we try to explain that there's a Father and that there's a Son and that there's a Holy Spirit and that we understand certain roles of each of these things, that at the same time, this is not really a good illustration, because they are one at the same time. And so there's left a mystery. But that's the beautiful part of it, is that God has purposefully left a great deal of mystery surrounding especially a lot of who he is. And it's important for us to try to look at Scripture and try to explain it, but there's also a certain point where we just begin to accept certain things and go, you know what, that's probably as good as we're going to get on that thing. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like I've done a horrible job of explaining it this morning. But I hope that you can get an understanding that the Holy Spirit, that the Son of God, that God the Father are all just as much God and all just as important, all carrying the same attributes, all being equally wise, all being equally strong, all being equally capable of doing certain things, but they have functions. And you see what was happening here is that God was creating a balance for us. When he designed us, he wanted us to be able to look at this, and in this, there's some amazing things that we see. Right here in the Trinity, we have diversity. God wants diversity amongst his people, because each person has a function, so that when the bride of Christ is functioning, and everybody that's a part of the bride of Christ, talking about the church, is functioning with it, then we are carrying out his plan. We're carrying out what he's called us to do. You know, and so we've got the diversity of that, but then also we've got this great thing between God the Father and God the Son going on, and we see purposely, and you read on through the book of Ephesians, and you'll find this, chapters 5, 6, you're going to see the role of how even a family works. through the God the Father and through God the Son and the obedience that comes down. And it's very clear in that passage of Scripture as that God is the head of the man and the man is the head of the house and all of those things. It's this not one is greater than the other, but it's this, there's certain amounts of obedience and coming under authority and all of those things is so huge. To seeing this in the Trinity is just amazing. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And so why is this important to us this morning? It's important because this is our God. And we love Him. And He's redeemed us through sending His Son and sealing us with salvation. And that's why it's important, amongst other things. I know this is a lot to digest, and you know it's hard for me to explain. And going Cheatham County on you is about the only way I know to go sometimes. And I'm encouraging you to do this. I encourage you to take Scripture yourself, seek who God is, and let Him speak to your heart through His Scripture. Do that on your own. Let God work through that. He wants to do that in your life, and He wants to move in your life. And if you don't know God, I'm just telling you, He wants to redeem you. He wants to know you. He wants to call you adopted. He wants to call you a child of His possession, so that one day when He returns, He can find you. Let's pray. God, I thank You so much for allowing us to just get to be here and worship with You this morning. God, as we're going to continue to worship You in just the next few minutes through music, God, I just pray, Lord, that You would just speak to our hearts, God, as we just speak to Yours. God, we thank You so much for allowing us the opportunity to get to be here, to worship You, to sing Your praise. And God, this morning I pray, Lord, that in everything that we do, God, that You would be glorified. In our trying to understand You, God, that You would speak to our hearts in a way, God, that we could have never believed that You would do. But God, Your Scripture does that for us. And so this morning, God, just continue to speak. God, in understanding what You've done for us and redeeming us and sealing us in the sacrifice for us, God, You deserve our praise. So God, as we praise You, God, may You be honored, may You be glorified. Love You, Lord, and we thank You for all that You've done for us. In Your name.